This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In politics, there's a phrase called name it and frame it. It refers to the fine art of creating a mental framework for an image that will set the terms of the debate. For instance, when most people hear the word winter, the mind automatically associates it with cold weather and snow. According to George Lakoff, framing issues in politics works much the same way. Lakoff is a professor of linguistics at the University of California at Berkeley, and he's somewhat of a rarity in politics these days. He's a self-described liberal who regularly heaps praise on the Republicans for their effective use of language, and he sharply criticizes the Democrats for failing to use language as an effective tool. Conservatives, he says, are winning the rhetorical war because they literally set the terms for the debate. To prove his point, Lakoff looks to the debate over taxes, specifically the use of the phrase tax relief.
A linguist looking at this phrase would look at the word relief and say, look, whenever you have the word relief, there is a conceptual structure, a frame in which there is an afflicted party who has this affliction and a reliever who takes this affliction away. And if anybody else wants to interfere with this hero, the reliever, he's a villain, he's a bad guy. If you add tax to relief, that imposes a metaphor, that taxation is an affliction. Anybody against the so-called tax relief plan would be a villain. All of this is largely unconscious and automatic, but built into the words tax relief. And people start thinking in terms of taxation as an affliction. Pretty soon, the Democrats are even talking about tax relief. That is, they've been co-opted by the language.
In the course of this electoral season, though, we see that Republicans and Democrats have staked out opposing turf on the debate over taxes, and we can actually hear that. We're going to listen to a couple of cuts of tape. We'll hear first from President Bush speaking recently in South Carolina, and secondly from Senator John Kerry, who's campaigning for the Democratic nomination. He's speaking on the campaign trail. Let's listen.
The tax relief we passed, the willingness to have people have more money in their pocket to spend, to save, or invest, is helping this economy recover from tough times.
And now we'll hear from Senator John Kerry.
Stand with me, and together we're going to give America back its future by repealing the Bush tax cuts for wealthy Americans and investing in health care and education. Stand with us, and together we will build a prosperity in this country.
Now, Professor Lakoff, as we just heard, they use very different language. Senator Kerry did not talk about tax relief per se, but taxes in both those cuts were portrayed as something that's very burdensome.
That's right. That's one of the things that the Democrats haven't learned, to say what they even think taxes really are. For example, taxes are kind of dues. Taxes are what you pay to be an American, U.S. dues. They're what you pay to use the infrastructure that other taxpayers have paid for in the past, highways, the internet, schools, the scientific establishment, the court system, Medicare, Social Security, and lots more. They're like paying your dues. They're things that you should be proud of. There's a problem, though. This idea of taxes as dues you pay is not out there. The idea hasn't been repeated enough, long enough, for people to really see that truth.
So how is it that America got to the point where the notion that taxes are a great burden is come to be embraced and just broadly accepted?
This has been worked on by the conservative establishment for the last 30 or 40 years. They've built a large network of think tanks, spending about $2 billion over the last 30 or 40 years, about $1 billion during the 90s alone. And over that time, they've trained candidates to talk in these terms over and over and over. So you would hear expressions like tax and spend liberals, as if the spending were not for any good purpose, not, you know, for anything necessary or good, that it just was like throwing your money away. That idea was given over and over and over again. And then the idea that taxes were a burden came in over and over again, repeated constantly, for a long time.
When you talk about framing, what's the difference between framing and propaganda?
There's a big difference. Framing can be simply your best way of saying what you believe or of telling the truth as you see it. In propaganda, the frames are used in ways that go against the truth and that are used for political purposes and for purposes of gaining political power.
Professor, you argue that the conservatives are way ahead of the game and that the Democrats need to figure out a way to get on the field and play by the rules that, as you say, have already been established by the opposing party. Why should the Democrats even get in the game? Why not look for sort of an alternative route, an alternative way?
Because people think in terms of conceptual frames. They don't just think in terms of the facts. And if they have frames that the facts won't fit, the facts will not be absorbed. Unfortunately, the facts will not set you free. That is, you can say over and over again that there were no weapons of mass destruction and the president knew it. Bounces off. If people have been given the frame by the president that this was a response to 9/11 and that they didn't have war plans before that, if it's seen as simply a response to 9/11 and that frame is accepted and the frame includes that al-Qaeda was operating in Iraq, that Saddam Hussein was al-Qaeda and so on, then the facts will just be ignored.
So you're in an interesting position. You're an avowed progressive who is singing the praises of the conservatives on the use of language.
Well, I'm an academic. I call them the way I see them. The conservatives have been very, very successful at this. They've been very good at it because a lot of Democrats think people vote their self-interest. And they think they can just simply go out there, talk to Americans in the red states and say, look, why are you voting Republican? What have the Republicans done for you? How have your interests been advanced by this? People don't vote their self-interest purely. Not that they never do, but they don't just vote their self-interest. They vote their identity. They vote their values. And if they see George Bush as someone that they identify with and whose values they share, they're very likely to vote for him even though he goes against their self-interest. And this is something that the Democrats have not yet copped to, and they need to.
Professor Lakoff, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle. It's been a pleasure to be here.
George Lakoff is a professor of linguistics and cognitive science at the University of California at Berkeley. He is also the author of Moral Politics, How Liberals and Conservatives Think.